ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moment of silence for our first responders and our military personnel. Thank you.
Roll call. Director Sanderson is absent and Director Morris is absent. Director Warville?
Here.
Director Tincher?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
General Manager Louis?
Here.
Okay. Since the Morris is not here, I don't propose. Oh, approval of Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes. Morris approved, and the regular board meeting for June 15th.
And I can actually approve.
You weren't here.
I wasn't here.
I'll second.
Okay, so motion to approve the following consent calendar items: Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes of June 15th, 2021, and the regular board meeting minutes of June 15th, 2021, made by Director Wargo and seconded by Director Link. Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. No warrants, no awards of contracts. San Gregorio Pass Water Alliance update. Mrs. Morris is not here, so we will table it unless you have information, Mr. Louis. No? Okay. Manager's report.
Alert from Edison.
effective location was the old Main Street facility where we store heavy equipment and materials. If you look at the bottom of the slide, this is the format that I generally receive the power outage alert. On coronavirus, are there any questions about the PSPS and the flex alert? On the coronavirus, some of the highlights, the lobby is now open to the public. Face masks are optional for vaccinated water customers and community members. The current confirmed COVID-19 as of July 14th, we have, on Cabazon, we have 329 confirmed COVID. Deaths still remain at 7. And recover from COVID, we have 319 individuals that recover from the COVID. And Governor Newsom has extended his executive order regarding water service interruptions will be restricted till September of 2021. On Tuesday, June 29th, Ms. Aguilar and I met with Chuck Krieger, Steve Anderson, Travis Romay, Russ Romy, for a joint in-person meeting at KNS headquarters located in downtown Riverside. Some of the topics that were discussed was the Main Street and Pecan Avenue, which is a piece of the parcel that we purchased so we can move from our current yard, which we're paying $500 a month to the County of Riverside, because they traded us, traded the district for that yard for this place here, which is built by the Prop 1 money. Some of the things that were discussed was assigned to mitigate Edison. Because the district for the last year and a half have reached out to the County of Riverside to building and safety, and then they directed us to planning, and for the last 18 months, no response from any of the either department. So I finally contacted Director Valdiva from the San Antonio Pass Water Agency, who is also an assistant to supervisor
Jeff Hewitt.
What is it?
Hewitt?
Jeff Hewitt.
Yeah. Jeff Hewitt.
Yeah. And so he contacted the people, and he told me, he was, you know, customer service is not exactly one of the highlights of the County of Riverside. He said, other agency and individual and developers had up to 3 years before they actually got their permit. So, speaking with Chuck Krieger, he assigned Russ, and Russ met me at the site of the Pecan and Main Street, and he's the one that performed a green tag inspection. And now we're moving forward with Edison, and hopefully within the next couple months, they'll energize the pedestal that we've been waiting for the last year and a half, and we can reduce the cost of the district of that $500 a month renting our own previous property and make the move. The only holdup right now with no power is the bulk storage of the sodium hypochlorite. That needs power and electric and
So is that sort of Main Street right now?
Yeah, that's on the old Main Street. The other one was the old Ice House, Hadley Ice House.
Yeah, on the other corner. There.
Yeah, right there on the corner of Pecan and Main Street.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up something that I hadn't thought about previously, is we are a government entity. We don't have to file permits with the county. It's just like with the road. You have a blanket permit per se to dig in the road.
Yep.
And as a government entity, we don't have to apply to the local agency for permits. All we have to do is follow NEC and National Building Codes and general guidelines. So Edison doesn't accept that ideal.
A year and a half ago, I brought that plan up to Edison, and they gave me the runaround too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other discussion was the test well. Apparently, USGS has recommended that we locate the test well at the northern part of town. So the production well that we were envisioning for the east side is off the table right now because they said they got high nitrates, the concentration of septic tanks. And they feel that the water, if we have a production well closer to the northern part of town, and it would be a better viable location.
So that pretty much shoots the dock out of the water.
Yeah. So to mitigate that, they're going to look at putting another pipeline to the east side. So one branch will have a redundancy.
Okay.
That was what I was going to say. If we only have the one line going to the east side, yeah.
And that's the line that goes down my street, right?
So
don't mess with, you live over there, don't mess with it.
Well, there's no wells down there now, is there? There's just a tank.
Just a tank. And then the supply that's dry.
When's the last time? Who said that the high nitrates down there? Who's saying that there's high nitrates down
that's
there?
That's why we had production well 3 right there on the end of Adele. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a sanitary cap on it because of the nitrates in that area.
But when's the last time we tested that? That well has been shut down for 15 years, right? If not more.
Well, it's due to all the septic tanks in the lower part of town.
Yeah, but where Ripco is, it's the flow. I mean, it's the same place that Arrowhead's pumping it out and selling it for a penny a gallon, you know, buying it for a penny a gallon.
Yeah, they're also in tribal land, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is right next to it's the same water, right? I just wonder, so we can't even test the water on the east side.
Well, USGS, for the last, at least since I've been here for 17 years, they've been studying this sub-basin, and that's what they're recommending. And also, that production well that the tribe obligated
Arrowhead to
finance, Larry Lawrence, who's their water broker, about 2 years later after we shut them down, he came to me wanting water again because he said that production well only produces 300 to 500 gallons per minute, and that's not enough to support his bottling plant. And I told him, I go, if you come here with $80,000 that you owe the district, and we'll start talking. And that's the last I heard from him.
But is their water high in nitrate?
I don't know. I would imagine. But they have, from what I saw when I was allowed to go there, I took they use reverse osmosis.
Yes. Yeah, to clean the water.
But what she's getting at is, when's the last time a water sample was pulled out of the sanitary capped well to verify that there's still high nitrates? versus the Indians well, which we can't get in. The Indians won't give us information on that. So, but the last time a sampling of the area down south was done was when? We don't know. When that was when that well was capped, right?
Who did the sampling the last time?
That I don't know. The last test well that I know of that was drilled was, okay, you know where my place is, was down the canal, probably at Dolores, roughly is parallel to where Dolores is.
Okay.
It was the last time a test well that I know of was drilled in this area. And the part that really crossed
that
my...
was with USGS.
Yes.
Because I didn't want, 17 years when I first came, I wanted to reactivate the production well 3, which is on the end of Medell. And I took some, I took some tests and stuff and submitted it. And the state's the one that ordered me that I put a sanitary gap because the nitrate was so high.
So that was 17 years ago?
Yeah. And the septic load has gone up. There's been more houses put in that area.
It just concerns me, even if we do get another pipeline in here, that whole side of the town is pretty fragile. So.
I know, as far as the hydrants go over there, it's really scary.
Yeah,
it's,
and that's
it's bad. We just lost one of the residents down there.
My mom's house was right behind that.
Yeah, right behind it.
Over on Farm One went up?
No, on Peach.
Oh, okay.
The gentleman didn't get out.
Now, your water, when's the last time you had it checked for nitrates and all that?
Never have. It comes out above us.
Oh, okay. It
comes out in our canyon up there.
Well, so you have a pretty shallow well.
There's no septic tank right up there now.
Yeah, I don't think it's shallow. I really don't know.
It just worked.
It worked. It's worked for 80 years.
So something we can look into is maybe just
have
you uncap a sanitary cap.
Yeah, why couldn't we just sample it again?
That would be, you would have to see if it's allowed. You know, for a week or whatever.
Seems like it would be cheaper.
Didn't Mr. Ripco get testing done? Doesn't he have a well there?
He's got 3, if I remember.
I think he did. Didn't he say he got testing
done? Yeah, he's got wells there. Can we not just test his? Like, get a sample of his water? To use the nitrate of that?
I thought he said he did.
Well, we were looking at the old Hadley lot that we bought, maybe for a test well and maybe even a production well. That we got, a property that we bought. There's residents around there under, and USGS says the nitrate is probably too high there, too, also.
The Hadley property.
Where the ice house that we
bought. Oh, no, but no, but do we still own the property, the 10 acres down on the, by the
floodplain there?
What is that? What does that have to do with a well?
Well, if it floods out, that was discussed too.
Is that out there in the wash?
It's just this
out on Elm Street and Carmen, isn't it?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but it would cost,
Well, I know, no, but test, well, the thing is we're trying to find locales for the water. The question is like she's saying, the Ripco property, why can't the sample be taken from one of those 3 wells to see what the water quality is, whether it's got nitrates or whatever. Supposedly, I'd have to go back and dig the paperwork to see when he had the test done. I thought they were fairly...
We're looking at it right now.
We would gladly answer any questions that we have on this.
It was a year, because I had to take Keith out there and show him where his 2 test wells. The Dunkel Springs and the Baltimore and the Baltimore. I think it's Maxine. It goes all the way out.
So...
Yeah, it's out by the old casino place.
I mean, even if we don't... How much is the nitrate test?
What's that?
And how much is the test water for nitrate?
I don't know if it's above the MCL, maximum contamination.
No, how much is the cost?
Just the test.
You're talking about from...
The RIPCO
well. Yeah, if we had RIPCO bring us a gallon of his water.
Well, no, I think you have to do a drawdown and then you have to do a drawdown and then a test.
Yeah.
But the test itself in the lab is like $100.
Yeah, they're not. It's not much.
But to get the sample water, there's
that's what's going to cost.
Can't just put a little bucket down there on the spring and pull it out. Come on.
There's a procedure because how long is the water? We don't know what the flowing path
is. I'm joking.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're. I don't know.
Okay, somebody down there. I'll figure out a way to get.
What the engineers and I have suggested is we're looking at properties around the dinosaur, and they identified some empty lots with the property owners and.
That's not considered reservation?
What's that?
Not a reservation?
No. There's land that is not part of a reservation. So the tactics behind that is we negotiate a price with the property owner tentative to the well being successful. And the reason why we want to negotiate a price before we actually find out whether production well as possible, because then I guarantee you're going to raise the price because there's a value.
I have an issue with it over by the dinosaurs.
Sorry?
I have an issue with the well over by the dinosaurs.
Okay, what's that?
Petroleum from the gas station.
What?
Petroleum from the gas station. Leaking tanks. Fuel dumping. That would be my concern. And then just south of that, just north of my property, is the old, remember when they had to do all that soil mitigation? I don't know how deep they went and how. Baldy Brothers, is that who he's selling it or something like that? Baldy Construction?
I think it was.
By Baldy?
Yeah. They used to own that property where that barn is. That when you go over the bridge, you can see that barn.
The one where that trailer burned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy's place. So, I guess if they did the test well, they would go. So, but you're saying there or over by Robertson's is what I was seeing here?
Yeah, that's all Robertson's property, and that's the. That's the old trailer park where Carrie and the Sodanas live.
I know somebody would let you do a well over there and they'd tell you the property tomorrow. You know that flag lot that goes all the way up against the. If when you go around the corner, you got Nancy's old place, right? It's got the hay barn, Tractor Dave's place.
Tractor Dave.
Then you go next to that where the guy's got the catering equipment.
And then there's that place right next to that.
That little narrow.
Yeah.
It says John Witt. He's fit to be tied because he's having breathing problems and everything else
because of Robertson's.
Yeah. And
is that within that?
Yes. In fact, if you were it's right. Here's Nancy's place right here. Here's the catering place, and in this place, and it's a flag lot. Right here, and then you got the open field, which was Robert. He's just sold that to somebody.
The one with the houses.
Well, there's an old house on there, and then you got the ones in the back, the two in the back, or whatever. But because he wants to get out of there, but he knows no real estate agent will even take it.
So you don't think there's any problems from Robertson's being there for so many years?
Well, are there wells on Robertson's
property? Well, we have a well on Robertson's property already.
Do we?
Yes.
Yeah, number two.
Right. You know where the Mattage plant is?
Uh-huh.
It's right next to the Mattage plant.
And there's no problem with seepage there?
Not there hasn't been. So.
That's our workhorse.
Is it?
That well's been. When all the, because this is the redundancy that we have that we have well two that's south of Tatan, and then when we acquire the outlets, they include that. I include two production officers, so is redundancy. I guess we have two wells north of the I-10 and one production well south of the I-10. So if there's any kind of catastrophe, either foci have the sources for
it. I know somebody south of the wash that, I don't know, they might let you do a test well.
Well, if you know some property on either one, and if you got, you can make a contact.
Yeah, I can.
Either contact information, but I think if you know them personally, or you guys are kind of like residents here.
Yeah. I was just talking to him yesterday or the day before. He's fit to be tied with the county. Or not, the county and, me and them, guys. Everybody over there's got the same problem. And they've kind of thrown their hands up. Since they put the pile, the tailings pile or the grease grind pile up there, and then with the guys working down at the corner, and then Robertson's, his house is covered in dust. They're all having breathing trouble, you know, and they're all violating PM10 regulations as far as...
Oh, yeah, big time.
And stuff. So I think there's a potential for that piece. If you're going to do that, there's a potential there. It's already fenced. It's got a drive-in, and if it were to be a producible spot where you could do that, he may just say, well, make him a reasonable offer for the property. He's not a man of greed. He's a man of means, type of a thing, as an alternative.
Well, either one of you guys can contact him if you're interested in with your contact
information to me, and I'll start working on it. In the meantime,
I'll alert
after the meeting,
I'll email Krieger and Travis and let you know.
But the other question
is
still heard about testing from RIPCO's wells.
Yeah, because we have all the wells. If we put a well right there next to well 2, is that going to hurt the production of well 2 at all? Because that is our work one.
Right, but well, Robertson's has a well in that area too, and drawdown hasn't caused any issues, has it?
The only two wells that the drawdown will interfere with is 4 and 5, which is two outlets. They're too close to each other, and drawdown, the colon depression will interfere with each other. But they're just within like maybe a block, a city block from each other.
Well,
these would be close too.
These would be close too. They would be close to that one. But where's the Robertsons?
And I would schedule them to run one at a time, like I do with 4 and 5. Actually, 4 is our backup. And I can run 5 and 2, which is, you know what outlet is, right? 5 is in a building south of the east village of Desert Hills.
Okay. On that, in that lot out there?
What's that?
In that empty lot?
No, it's a building.
No, you're thinking of the Cabazon outlets. You have the Cabazon outlets is the eastern section street.
Uh-huh.
So just west of that street that goes between Desert Hills.
That goes up to the houses up there?
Right. Just west of that, there's a block building right there on the street, right?
Correct.
There's one there, and then the other one is up
on Millard.
Millard, which is that street, just up a block up there. But you know where the Tesla parking is and the charging stations on the
yes
between the two sections.
Yes.
Right up in there, if I remember right, there's the well right in there.
Okay.
In the service drive exit in the back entrance there.
But if you go to 5, which is the one on Seminole, and you look towards the south, you can see the production well at the cement plant.
Oh, okay.
That's about maybe a half mile apart. And I run, like during hot days or high demand, I run 5 and 2 at the same time. No issue. So if this works out, it turns out to on these other two properties we have to end up putting in production well, then I'll just schedule it accordingly, one at a time.
But so we still have all of our wells within that little red box, though.
No, the other one, you see where the little white dot is?
Well, okay, so, but it's up on that side of the city.
Yeah, you're
right?
You're correct. They're on the uphill side. It's a catch 22.
So this is also a well here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one. This is four. And five is over here.
Okay.
And then here's the Robinson plant.
Right.
And two is here. Just to kind of give you a...
No, I think you're a little off on that, aren't you? The, just right at the corner of the red triangle on the left.
It should be somewhere like right in this area?
Yeah, just a little bit farther west of that is where that is. Is if I remember right. Because it's less than a quarter mile off of Apache Trail to that well. And you can see where the roundabouts are right there. So...
And where's well three?
And there's nothing over in this area?
No.
And there's nothing lower here? Or is there one at the end of Almond?
No, that's a ball.
That's
a PRV, pressure regulating valve.
Yeah.
So everything comes from the northwest?
Yes.
The reason why they...
And right now there's more pipeline to get to the east side.
Ooh.
Yes. Right under that bridge, right?
It goes, the pipeline actually comes underneath, you know where DeLucas place is?
Yes.
The pipeline comes near, over there, in that area, comes under the freeway off of Seminole, over in that area, then comes to Ramona and cuts across, right?
Right, we severed the shut down the pipe that runs underneath the DeLuca property. And so when it comes down at 90s and goes down Ramona.
What size line is this?
What's that?
What size?
8-inch.
That's it? That's all around the cattle line?
The south side, yeah.
We have 6 and 4 inches pipes.
And over by us, it's all still dense and infrastructure.
And that, and we're talking 3-inch on some of that stuff?
2-inch down Ella. No, not Ella, but... Which street?
Oh, no, that's right. Because
wow.
They have one of the fire hydrants runs off of 2-inch, that one that we...
The one on Peach Street looks like it's 2 or 3-inch.
Yeah.
It's just a head.
Yeah. Therein lies the issue. We need to improve everything.
Yes, definitely.
And we're working on grants for that now and stuff. But she is right. I think there needs to be some kind of either another 8-inch or 10 or 12-inch line coming across the freeway.
Or something down here.
Something down here.
I mean, that would be way more feasible to put something down here. And cost-wise, it would be a lot cheaper.
You know, I don't know who owns it, but right above me is a pie-shaped piece of property that's pretty much worthless. It's right up against the canal.
Right.
Used to belong to PJ, and then was sold to the Banning Trust Company, but I don't know who owns it right now. I don't know if Morongo does.
Somebody's willing to sell us land with wells on them.
I understand that.
Let's talk to these guys and have a flag lot.
Now the question, but it will the USGS and the state of California allow us to use those wells?
Yeah, that's the problem.
How long does it have to be that they have high nitrate?
I don't know. Well, that's the question about testing the water from RIPCO's side. Why can't we test the water?
How much does this RIPCO guy want for that lot?
He won't divulge that until...
You know he's going to want a lot of money.
Well, that's the question. You know, are we talking 500 or a million?
Let me give you a little background history on this guy.
He lives in Beverly Hills, I can tell you that.
He's obviously a wealthy guy. His name is Charles Rep, and he has been a thorn in this district for the last 10 years. He initially had a guy named medical doctor named Dr. Berman, and apparently he wasn't successful in his practice, so he decided to become a water broker. Then he comes into this area and talks to this rich guy and this wealthy guy into selling water, and then he was going to sell it to Banning. He has a desert water agency, and then promised us that if you guys let us have the water to sell, will upgrade your entire infrastructure, distribution system.
Sounds, sounds expensive.
Okay.
Okay, so they drilled three wells. I don't remember if they're 8, 10, or 12. I think it's in the paperwork. But it's still in the same respect. We don't know what he's going to want for it. I tried to pin him down, and he won't give us a number.
I get just told by that one meeting when I was here. Looking for money.
He's got property with wells and water. He's on
that's
a good spot for water.
Well,
exactly. But there's nothing saying we couldn't, maybe we could get a test, a sample from him.
And see about opening
and see if it has, you know, and then, because if it's been 17 years since we got, since we capped the well.
How hard would it be to uncap the well and run some water to where you pull a sample?
Well, we have, didn't he give us,
from your well.
Do we have
from your well down there?
Oh, the
One you got kept.
On a dell.
I'd take the sanitary seal off of it, and then
is it feasible to do that?
And have them rewire it and energize it. And
run some water for a little bit. Pull a sample.
What's that?
Run some water, clear the line, and then pull a sample.
First thing to do is to undo the sanitary cap, but then I got to go get permission from the Department of Water Resources because they're the one that ordered me to put a sanitary cap on it.
Yeah, but that was 17 years ago.
Well, so we could apply to the DWR for a permit.
And they're pumping water out of it left and right at Arrowhead. They're
pumping
it out.
Area. It's
probably been flushed out.
All right, so... Okay, we need to get back to your manager's report and then do an agenda item to initiate the process of getting the permit to uncap and to do this.
Well, before we do that, let's, the next meeting, because there's an item here where they're going to, our engineer and Steve are coming to educate you guys. Update the board about Prop 1, what's going on with that grants and the work group and where we're at with that.
Who works on the grants for the district?
Either the engineer or best approver. This depends on what grant we're after. Prop 1 money is. The San Antonio Pass Water Agency, they're the lead agency, and then banning ourselves.
The one we're paying taxes to every,
they're all participants.
Every year, where we get nothing from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that one.
But at that same meeting, after when we do the closed session, the workshop will be conducted in closed session, and then after that, we do an open session and then you put that on the agenda a discussion about location and your...
I think that's a good idea.
Well, let's get back to the management report so we don't...
Okay, thanks.
So now we're...
Yes.
We've got a Tesla, we had a Microsoft team meeting organized by Dylan from Tesla, and attendees were Keith from Legend, Dave, Woody from Calzon, Morgan from Calzon, Ms. Aguilar here, myself, and we discussed the location of the battery, and apparently caller Keith gave his final approval of the battery banks. That's our production well. That's the well that's housed at the Robinson plant. And what we want to do is have some backup batteries. So when there is a PSPS or a power outage, we would have some backup power. So the only thing that I want to verify is, and I'll get some clarification from Keith, is the energy storage system. Because what he wanted, and he's the one that actually is the vendor that does all our well repairs, is that he wants access closest to the well's building. So when they have run a crane to raise the shaft and the motor, you can get next to that building. And so I'm going to have to still confirm that bank of battery. Can it still be there, or do we have to move it? And I mean, once we go on that tour to familiarize you with the layout, you'll kind of have a better understanding of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Any questions about that? The other point I want to bring up to the board is that the diesel engine generator, that is an expense to the district about $2,600 a year between AQMD permitting and the quarterly service that we have a vendor come in to check the motor, check the oil, make sure everything's preventative maintenance. 17 years I've been here, the only time I've had to use that is when we have a power outage. During the day, it would come up. We only allow 200 hours until we get cited by AQMD. So I configured it to where a human being from the district has to come in and actually turn the darn thing on. Because, let's say if there's a power outage and the well's running and the power goes off, well, the shaft will start spinning. And that generator kicks on,
snap the shaft.
Yeah. So what I'm suggesting is we disconnect it, have our vendor empty the oil or do whatever they have to do to store that generator, and then the board can either approve to either donate it or ask for a reasonable amount of money for that generator to a small water district. And let's just get rid of it.
It wouldn't help at a different well.
I'm sorry?
It wouldn't be beneficial to put it in a different well.
No. What it is the California has what they call Tier 1, 2, 3, and 4 diesel emissions. If your machine is not Tier 4 compliant now, you can only run it so many hours. And the cost to upgrade that machine to a Tier 4 compliant engine. You can buy a whole new machine, but we don't need to spend $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 on a machine big enough to run that. But in the same respect, $2,600 a year, that's 100 years that we still own the machine. And if we have to run it based on what I see here, what he's saying, what Governor Gruesom Newsom has said, is that the permit is invalid during an emergency temperature issue like he just stated. So that means that our rule as far as maximum hours gets suspended during his declaration.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Because it was right there, or you stated that right here. Tassio, because Governor Newsom orders allowing the emergency use of auxiliary power generators to relieve pressure on the grid. This follows his motion, which suspends certain permitting requirements to enable the use of backup power generation in response to ongoing heat wave here in California. P.S. Heat wave.
what's the fire hazard wind one?
Well, that's part of PSPS, too. It's kind of when the temperature gets too high, they'll also cut it back because of the drying out of the
vegetation. Well, yeah, because everybody's got their air conditioning, but when the wind blows in October and it's not that hot, and they keep shutting off all our electric, so we run it then?
But the only time they don't, they'll shut off in the evening. The question is what do they say the penalty will be for overuse of ours?
AQMD?
Yes.
Anywhere from 5,000 to 20 grand.
Okay. So is that per incident or per hour or per minute?
Per incident.
Per incident. So if we have one incident and it costs us $5,000, we're still, until the Tesla system is in, we're still way ahead. Does that make understand what you're saying, trying to relieve expenses, but until the Tesla system is in and operational, to me, the generator stays there. Because
so wouldn't the PSPS qualify as an emergency event?
Not under the heat wave, because that's dealing with high winds and potential fire.
Right, but they're shutting the power down due to possible emergencies.
It would be, I have to get a clarification from the AQMD slash the state of the government. And to me, that's well worth the investigatory aspects of this.
Well, I know we can't discuss politics, but this is how I see it. He's trying to avoid a recall right now. Mm-hmm. Giving our tax dollars away. Free lunches. Doesn't matter. If you're financially distressed, it's fine. I'm not going to ask for your rent. It goes to all the kids in California.
I know, right now today.
Yeah,
Okay. So, back to the Tesla thing, or what you were getting at, the diesel engine.
Anyway, but, so.
Something to think about.
It's something that I want to propose after, first, after we the batteries are ensured that they actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would bring it to the board, and plus I'll have a detailed finance of what it would cost. And initially, like I said, if one wants to donate it to a needy district that's smaller than us,
they have to be out of California, though.
With that?
They'd have to be out of California.
Why?
Because they're going to run into the same issue with using it in California as we would. They would have the same AQMD issue that we do anywhere in California.
Well, that's their problem, isn't it?
Sell it to somebody in south of us.
Yeah, I mean, it can go anywhere. I mean, as long as it's a financially strapped district that's more financially strapped than us, but some of the things that would be required, I would suggest to the board that we would require before we gave it away or donated, is the reimbursed district for the disconnecting, and also, well, they have to pay for the transportation.
Well, that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Put it up on auction.
So that's something that might be on the table in the near future. On June 16th, at about 6:55 a.m., received a report from about a 12-inch gate stem, gate valve stem that broke off while attempting to isolate water flow for the Broadway and Bonita leak repair. We're currently working with the California Riverside Transportation Department and other contractors for a viable traffic control by the district field crews repairing the damaged gate valve. It used to be Cavazon Store, but it's now Four Brothers. There's a cluster of valves, and apparently the stem, you know, just finally just wore off and snapped off.
How old are those valves?
I'm sorry?
How old are the valves?
Yeah.
Okay. There's that does not surprise me, though.
There's some valves on the east side that we've red flagged that we just don't turn. Also,
what's that? Who put those in?
On the east side?
Yeah. Yeah, it was LD. Probably 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
And all the fire hydrants, as they snap off, we put the knockoff shut-off valve because they just used to be welded right to the main. on June 16th, at about later that day, about 11:26, I received, again, a report from Wayne Ailes that Morgan, while he was reading the water meter, he observed a potential rupture pipeline at 4884 Mojave Avenue, and this has since been repaired. On June 22nd, at approximately 1:52 p.m., I received an email from Morgan regarding a rupture service lateral at 52209 Lois Avenue. Any question about those repairs? Okay, Cody. Production well one. Legend has received a negative result from the groundwater sample they submitted. It's the only test that you actually want to not pass. The results of this lab test were sent to the district and engineering on 7th July 1st. On Thursday, July 8th, the GM recommended and it was agreed amongst the Cavalon Water Team not to introduce the groundwater into the community's potable water distribution system. The excess water would be released into the waste pond. This is because that well has been down for almost a year and a half, and we need to get caught up with the Title 22 water sampling test. And so that's what we're in the process of doing. Flushing the well for about 4 days, between 10 to 8 in the morning, I was babysitting that well, and some of the things that I keep track of and I take pictures of because of Legend and also I'm building, I'm adding towards a operations manual, and it's great procedural things that, as I go along, I can start listing this and adding it to that procedural manual. First thing I did was check the well shaft, food grade, oil reservoir level. For 4 days, that level would actually go down to about 80%. So I know Legend was trying to sell us a larger reservoir, but you know, 4 days, 8 hours running that well, it only went down 20%. So that was I gave Legend a no on that. I also ensured the food grade oil electric silver dripper was working appropriately. Look behind cover. Okay. Then, as a precaution, to ensure the wastewater valve was not would not open, I physically deactivated the K-valve module on the control panel and basically I removed and unplugged it. To insert, the knob is physically set in hand and manually activated well one electric pump holder. As you can see, the lights are all lit up, a pump power on, pump call, and pump run lights were eliminated. And then the last thing I do is I confirm the raw groundwater is being discharged into the waste pond. on the fifth day of Tuesday, January 13th, at about 5:15, I discovered that well one had failed to continue to run. I started it up because we decided to only run it for 4 hours before Clay would come and take the title of the 22 groundwater samples. And so I activated at about 4 o'clock the Uber car, which is the compact car that we used, was low on air. So after I turned it on, I decided to divert to the Shell station to pump it up. And then coming, and what I do is I had these bright green LED lights on, installed on the roofs of all these production wells. So if I just want to make a quick check, I can see what's lit up in the middle of the night driving down I-10. And I noticed that the light at well one was off. So I called Woody to go check, and he said that it had stopped running and the breaker actually tripped. And he tried 3 times to restart it, and if you look at the color picture, the red light was eliminated on the module, on the timer.
So which breaker was tripped, though? Control power or?
Control panel, not the main.
Okay.
Does that not show up on the screen?
No. Okay. No, it doesn't. It just will show whether the pump is running or not. But you have a main supply of power. My concern was if it was the main motor power, which is 250 horsepower motor.
What's that?
The pump is a 250 horse or 300?
It's a 300.
300, so it's a 400 amp circuit breaker probably. If that one is tripping, we have a real big problem. But if it's a control power, it could be a bad relay, it could be a bad timing module, it could be a bad little incidental little stupid thing and stuff. So,
later in the day, we had a conference call with Chuck and Travis and Russ and Ms. Aguilar and myself, and we decided to call Greg Beebe and to come check out the control panel. And Mr. Krieger suspected the electric pump motor may be pulling more voltage, causing the breaker to pop.
But you said it was a control circuit breaker. It wasn't the big 400 amp breaker that controls the motor, right? That tripped.
What was that again?
Which breaker tripped? The one for the control panel?
Yeah, the one, the breaker and the control panel.
Okay, well then the electric pump motor, well, which electric pump? Is it for the chlorinator or something like that? Because, see, the one thing is, his wording is wrong. It's not going to pull more voltage, it's going to pull more current. And for this, a control breaker to trip, that's nothing to do with the main pump. It's not going to trip that. I think you understand, you grasp what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? It's like your thermostat on your house tripping a breaker versus the air conditioner tripping.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
It's like low voltage tripping a breaker versus high voltage.
Yes. Yeah, I deal with 6900 at work. So 480 is low voltage in one respect. Actually, we go from 420 volts, all the millivolts, all the way up to 6900. Okay, so anyway.
So Greg and Mike showed up. They suggested that to determine whether it was the shaft or the bowls failing or if the motor was actually pulling more amps, they suggested that we disengage the driver to the shaft and run the motor. And when we tested the motor alone without running the shaft, it was flawless. It ran flawless. So then so we then we called Keith to come out and today, or actually it was yesterday, Keith decided on his recommendation that he feels that it was sandlocked. Either the bows and the pillars were sandlocked. That's when there's a buildup of dirt and sand. Well, I'm trying to explain it to you. And that's what's causing, because when you turn it on, it was kind of like that. And so just today, we had another conference call with Chuck and Travis and Edward and myself. And during this call, we all agreed that an on-site, that they would provide an on-site inspector, and the district would have an inspector taking photos, because what Mr. Krieger suspects is I ran that thing, that well, for 4 days, flawlessly, and all of a sudden it builds up and binds. And he said, that's not a characteristic of sandlocking. So that's why he's going to have one of his people and someone from here to take photos and to have some expertise in Welsh in water wells. And Keith is just trying to get away with the cost, because it's $6,000 to rent the crane. The other was an 860-feet shaft. So that's where we're at with well one. Okay. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, there's the information doesn't, something's not right in what you're giving to us, because when you say control power, that's different than the pump breaker tripping, unless there's a, you just said that's got a soft start on it, right? So there's something else that's, I can't go and look at it because I'm not allowed to, even though I do. So I have to trust the Krieger and Stewart and your electrician over Key.
Well, you're free if you want to go up there when they actually schedule the be up there. I mean, we just got to have more than two directors at one time.
I don't think so.
Hey, on Thursday, July 11th, July 1st at 6:03 in the morning, Rooney radioed me to respond to the street east of 15218 Peach. With a pair of bolt cutters to provide access to responding fire personnel handling a fully engulfed trailer at on Peach. The reason why we put padlocks on all the east side hydrants is obviously the dew batters and also the unhoused people. They steal water.
So could the fire department access that hydrant until you got there with bolt cutters?
Well, they called, it was a mutual aid, so the other firemen, like Banning and the tribe, they don't have keys to our hydrants.
Okay. And so, but they don't have bolt cutters to cut off the lock? Do they have the permission to cut off the lock?
If it's emergency, yeah, they have permission to even...
That's how I guess I'm saying, do they have access to get to any of the fire hydrants before?
Well, Fire Station 24 has keys. The area patrol car, sheriff car, and patrols area has keys to our facilities. But other than that, if they have mutual aid or other fire personnel, first responder come, they don't have keys.
So why didn't they just use bolt cutters from the engine to cut the lock? Why did we have to go cut the lock?
Did you cut the locks and then they could hook up the hose? Because it was a while. Like, this is a terrifying morning.
What was this hydrant at that they had to cut the lock on?
It was on that side. Peach was the fire, but they decided to also attack the fire from behind.
So was the Peter with the plum hydrant?
They didn't really work.
I couldn't answer that. I mean, if you guys want
me
an answer, I can ask
Dave.
He's the one that called
her out. Because the fire hydrant is across the street from my mom's house, is catered for that. So this fire was like 12 feet from her house.
Yeah.
And, but like, and it's a little concerning. It's like the ultimate, in here it says the ultimate victim would be the water, the responsible water users. But if we couldn't, if they couldn't get the water on the fire until we cut off the lock.
Well, they've got a 500-gallon plus tank in the fire trucks. Mm-hmm. So my guess is they were running low on water.
Yeah, and they needed to replenish the truck. Yeah. And that little 4-inch line down there on Peach Street is just, it's not enough to fill the trucks up very fast.
I mean,
yeah.
I saw him driving around trying to calm my mom down. It just, it doesn't make sense, because you said, when I sent you pictures of the cut locks from over there, and you said that, oh, that was done by the fire department. Okay, our fire department has bolt cutters. You're telling them Morongo or Banning doesn't have bolt cutters? To me, that's a kind of stupid.
Like I said, I would have to ask Dave. All I knew is he called me on the radio, and then when I got there, he found his pair of bolt cutters.
Did the power go out today?
What's that?
The power go out today?
No, I got it noticed too.
Yeah.
It might have.
Huh. They turned it back on.
Well, my phone didn't ring, so we didn't lose power.
It said 8:02 this morning.
Oh. My power, everyone's all day. Power didn't go out.
Yeah, mine didn't either.
Anyway, all right, so.
And then later that evening, at about six in the evening, I received a call from dispatch, and they advised me that the landlord of the Peach Street property had advised him that the fire department had contacted him that he needed to shut off his water service. So when I responded there, the little dial in the water meter was just moving ever so slight, and whomever didn't turn off the customer size, crank it all the way down all the way, so it was still leaking water. And the reason I'm not going to recommend that Ellen charge this individual for the non-business response, because I found out it was Dave the one that actually shut off the customer size, and it was just, he's the one that actually didn't shut it all the way down. So, any questions about that? The old wheel end, sir. I ate there a couple of times too. At about 2:30, Woody was monitoring their construction crew at the site of the Palmer Inn, and a new proposed business date shake shop. And while Winnie was standing there, the water began flowing on the district side of the water meter. And if you look at the photos, what happened was during further investigation, he didn't witness it, but you can see someone, heavy equipment, hit the water meter, and the service lateral bent it, and there's a break right there at the cord. And And then Monday later, Dave went by there again, and he observed, he took, I got him in and out of taking pictures, but they had a loader, and they were taking, picking up slabs of cement, and you can see that one slab, you see that shape of the pipe. So, with all this evidence, I'm going to be going take shape. Any questions about that? The last is an update on the 12-inch transmission line that we have coming down from well one, tank one, down the dirt road to Seminole. This is during the evening when I discovered this, and I verified it in the morning, but there was a leak, and it turned out to be, it was a 10-inch line, and we're going to, they dug it up, there's a Band-Aid on it, and to fix it, it's going to be $7,103.55 for the bell joint cover. Something that, that we need to do.
Part of life.
And I'm sure you all are intelligent enough that when people complain about why their water bill is so high, well, these are the reasons.
So I can blame you for my water being
no,
high?
No, because you have horses in the desert.
Oh, that's not why my water is going to be
high. Not on this, but it came out. Stu Thomas, I think Sherman Lincoln, I the only one that recalls this because we've been around for a while, but many moons ago, the board agreed, the old board, previous board, I don't know how many generations. When was the last time you were on the board? Which time? When we were at the old building. Anyways, the board agreed to restore Mr. Thomas's service ladder. And you know where that 10-acre he has, what his parents used to own that, has all those antique tractors parked out front? Well, they ran a ladder down the easement all the way down to his other 10-acre behind. And now he wants to put in a mobile home and a barn. And so that's part of the agreement. He sells a place or he's going to develop it, and the district will prepare that service line.
Okay.
So I'll get the cost and have you guys approve it at the next board meeting. And I also told him, he said he applied for permits from the county, but I said just send me a letter saying that, you know, you're developing it, because it could be anywhere from 2 to 3 years before you're successful in getting that permit. And that's my report for today.
Because of the closed session and the performance evaluation, due to the lack of the other directors and out of respect for them, we would like to table that until next month. I think it's a respect for the other two directors also, so that we get a complete evaluation and stuff.
That's fine.
All right.
You want to Mr. Sanchez?
Yeah.
Go ahead and go call him and let him know.
Yeah, why don't you call break and
call break?
Yeah, let's take a point of privilege, key break. Just on a side note, county goes up and down my street with that stupid blade, and they clean that top of that curb between my fence and stuff, and they hit the meter box, both of them, all three of them. I put in a request for inspection. I don't know if they ever came out and did it, but I went out and noticed that the small meter box, my 5/8 meter box, is pushed underneath my fence and up, and one side of the box is up against the meter. And then Anybody there? Okay. Next item. Discussion. Open session, no action to take. No closed session. We tabled it. Old business, customer concern. Paul Oshadiri concerning his, addressing his concerns with the water board. We have a no-show.
Yep. I emailed him on Thursday, and then I called him yesterday and left a message.
Okay. Next action item is draft contract for drilling of test wells, Charles Rip by Calvin Louie. I guess that kind of goes back to what we were talking about on your report. And you're saying that the the DWR or the USGS, is that what you said?
USGS.
Says they recommend moving away from this area?
Right. They're recommending some putting a test well and production well on the north side of town.
Okay. So, all right. Now this clears my thought process up. We had talked about, you had said that the USGS wanted to do a test well out here, correct?
Right.
We were saying, well, why not do it down at the RIPCO place? And they're saying no for their test well.
No, this is our grant money.
Right. But
so there's stipulations on using the grant money? Is that what it is?
No, this is, USGS is recommending that we use our money wisely, and they're recommending doing that test well and production well on the north end of town instead of the south because of the high nitrate.
And the question, which goes back to her question, what are they basing those high nitrate numbers on? A 17-year-old test? Or do they have newer?
No, on their studies that are currently, and why I say 17 years is from day one I started here to now to current. Every year they come out and they're studying. They do different various tests. They have several test wells around here too.
Oh, okay.
And they're drawing that conclusion based on their data.
Is there any reports from them?
I have to go to San Antonio and get copies of it.
Could you do that,
yeah,
please? Because we're going off of, we're trying to make a judgment call and not enough information. Because if they, like you said, because I thought they capped that well below me. Right? So you're saying they still have other test wells down south,
right,
that are still active that they use periodically. New information gives us a better perspective.
It'd be nice to know where they're pulling these apples from.
Yeah, I'd be nice to see some of the samples.
Yeah.
I'll contact the new general manager of San Antonio.
Okay. So basically the RIPCO is a new point then. It's a no action taken on the RIPCO situation.
Are we tabling the RIPCO until April?
Yeah, we can do that. Table it or no action at this point in time. Okay. The next item is discussion action. I guess this is something you brought up.
I didn't bring up this.
Or somebody talked to you about it or what?
So
I think you need to recuse yourself.
I know what this is about.
Mr. Public,
Do you know what this is? No. Back in the day, the directors were quasi-deputized. This was back in 2000. God, this is a long time ago. We were actually issued badges. This is when I was on the board previously.
Okay.
And it gave us, because we were deputy directors, it gave, in emergency, it gave us access to the area.
Okay.
And we were given badges. And then you remember when there was the big fiasco in Orange County? When there was a fiasco in Orange County with the badges given out by the two different people? that weren't really police and everything like that. There was a clampdown on possession of a badge.
Okay.
So when I when I left the board, I had to surrender the badge. And basically this is to, they want to, if it's in Lucite, like, you know, like you get the scorpions and stuff,
right.
Then it becomes a,
it's or just a
trinket.
Yeah, paperweight.
Yeah. And I've been after him about it because I wanted it back because, you know, it's kind of a little bit of past history.
Right.
And so I guess now you want to try and clean the safe out?
Well, before, like, if you're a city councilman or a mayor, you got a police badge. But due to human nature, it got abused, and that's why we had to take all the badges back. So being this is district property, I need A, and I guess we're going to have to get a quorum because you're going to be required to call in the audience and recuse yourself. Now we don't have a quorum, so we'll have to wait for the next board meeting for them to authorize that, but the cost is the other decision the board needs to make is 184.05 to have that in the case, and I need direction from the board if they approve to release that to Chairman Link, to also the district pay the 184.05 or will the board
or bill him for it?
I think we'll table that item right now.
I think you're not on the board right now. Yeah.
You know, I when I was a cop for this guy, and this guy used to, I mean, this is many, many years ago, like, well, 30 years ago, it was $50. Now it's triple.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
everything's triple.
Yeah.
Plumber Street. Okay, next item. Determine a date and time for special meeting regarding annual standby. This has to be posted
2 weekends before.
Okay.
So if this weekend and the weekend after, and then that would be the date that I have in here. And Director Morris said she will not be available on August 2nd. But other than that, she's available. Director Sanderson said he's available any of those days.
Okay, so this will be a special meeting that's going to last about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a quick meeting.
Okay, so, and you need, how about the, I work swing shifts all the first through Saturday, and then I'm working Graves after that. Can we do it on the 10th? Is it people okay with doing it on the 10th? Oh, but the next, why don't we just, can we, does it have to be a special meeting, or can we do it during the regular board meeting?
I don't know when. They never told me when exactly if the resolutions are due. They're supposed to get back to me on that, but I think it's during, like, the first week.
The first
week? The beginning
week
of August.
Okay. I have Wednesday the 4th off.
That works for me, though.
Does that work for you all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do it for the 4th thing. So you'll get that out this weekend and
next
weekend.
What time?
So it's just going to be a quick meeting?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Fortunately, you have to stick around or go home.
Can we not do it at 6 o'clock when we're out of town? Can we do it earlier in the day?
I have that day off completely. What's the earliest you can do?
I'm home by like 3:30. So we can do like 4 or 5.
Does that work for you? What time do you?
Well, Wednesday I'm in India at 4. So
I can leave a little early, doesn't matter. We can do 3.
I can do 3. Yeah. Does that work? I don't want to. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. No problem.
Yes. Yes. All right. So 3 o'clock on August 4th. Do we need to do a motion for that or like a vote or anything? Or just
an action item?
Yeah, we'll just make a motion, please.
I make a motion that we hold the standby charges meeting on Wednesday, August 4th at 3 p.m.
Second.
Okay, motion to approve the special meeting regarding standby charges on August 4th at 3 o'clock p.m. made by Director Wargo, seconded by Director Tincture. Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Tincture?
Aye.
And Director Lee?
Aye.
Is it 6 o'clock? 4 o'clock. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock,
yeah.
And we'll send out the all the notices either tomorrow or the day after once we get them all printed.
Public comment? Board member comments? General manager? Okay. Future agenda items. I think we had kind of talked about the test well at RIPCO, blah, 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 blah. And based on the information we got about the USGS, we will wait until we get some of those sampling or the so that we won't have another future agenda item pertaining to that. Is there anything else that you want on the agenda? Okay. Management have anything?
No, I'll just invite either Travis or Mr. Peter.
Management comments? Future board meeting, the next board meeting and finance and audit workshop will be...
I remembered what my comment was.
Oh, okay.
It was just I wanted to call your guys' attention to the end of the year budget, and it came in under 52%. So,
that's good. So we have the next finance and audit workshop on the 17th of August, the regular board meeting on the 17th of August. And also the closed session will be for the management review, the manager's review, and the Water Alliance on the 28th of the month.
And the workshop, as far as the Prop 1 workshop, that will include a session also.
Okay, at that same
time. And then we'll talk about the topic, the location of the test well, then that will be an open session.
Okay. Get a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, motion to adjourn at 7:33 p.m. Made by Director Wargo, seconded by Director Tincture. Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Tincture?
Aye.
Director Lee?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:33 p.m. on Tuesday, July 20th, 2021.